Refugees are not a new phenomenon. War has long acted as a driver of migration, forcing people away from their homes and into new areas where they have to try and find a way to exist in an unfamiliar environment with few of the domestic comforts that they may once have known. Despite the progress made in the fight against poverty in recent decades, the number of people categorised as of concern to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees has grown by over 14 million worldwide in the last 6 years. This is in part due to new conflicts, but other factors are in play. The average length of displacement has more than doubled to 20 years, and traditional solutions favoured by humanitarian agencies do not appear to be working. Many people's understanding of what it is to be a refugee is based on the proliferation of refugee camps in response to 20th century conflicts. Housed by major aid agencies in rows and rows of temporary tents, with food and other supplies only available through handouts. Today's reality is that around half of all of those forced from their homes live in urban areas. The growth in urban refugees has presented a challenge to aid agencies seeking to provide shelter and support to those on the sharp end of conflict and catastrophe. I spoke with Simone Haysom of the Humanitarian Policy Group at ODI and author of the recent Sanctuary in the City series to discuss these difficulties. Much of Simone's work refers to refugees and IDPs, or internally displaced persons. I began by asking her to explain the difference between the two.
In one sense, there's a very clear difference between refugees and IDPs. Refugees are people who've crossed an internationally recognised border, and there's an entirely separate legal framework that applies to them than the one that applies to IDPs, who remain citizens of the country in which they've been displaced. On another level, you'll often hear IDPs referred to even in the media as refugees, because in practice, they're both people who've had to flee their homes due to war or disaster.
So are there significant differences facing refugees and IDPs today compared to 10 or 20 years ago?
In broad brushstrokes, I think you could say the answer to that is yes, but it's quite complicated if you look at the kind of shifts that have occurred. The last few decades of the 20th century, there was a huge predominance of large camp-based responses, which perhaps in part because they were a very good visual shorthand for the effects of war, became very much associated with displacement. And also the places where most NGOs and UNHCR was operating predominantly, and in that way came to be seen as the normal situation for refugees in many parts of the world and IDPs. We've also seen in some parts of the world border control become stricter and resettlement places, particularly in the West, decline, which have all changed the kind of dynamics around who becomes a refugee or who becomes an IDP and where they go and how long they stay there. One of the most significant changes has just been the length of displacement. So someone who was a new refugee in the mid-1990s, who perhaps thought they were going to go back to their home very shortly, is probably still a refugee in places like the countries adjacent to Somalia or Afghanistan.
And which factors have driven the increase in the number of people seeking to live in urban areas?
I think there's several reasons. One of the more interesting dynamics that we've seen in the last few years is that there have been large displacement crises from what were largely middle-income countries, so say Iraq and now Syria. The people leaving those countries are not willing to be housed in camps, do not want to be in them, and the countries receiving them also were very unwilling to establish camps. Whereas a lot of the conflicts that occurred in the 90s, particularly in Africa, people were often fleeing very underdeveloped rural areas. The services that were offered in camps could even have been better than the ones that they had in the place where they fled. So perhaps there was more tolerance of the conditions in them. Those have always been problematic too.
The preference for refugees to live in urban areas has been clearly evident to those working on recent displacement crises in both Lebanon and Burkina Faso. We caught up with two experts at the Humanitarian Policy Group's advanced course in conflict, crisis and transitions. Lina Hamadan is United Nations Development Programme Officer affiliated to the Prime Minister's office in Lebanon.
I think they prefer living in cities because the camps are overcrowded. In one room, you can find 15 persons in one room in the camp. Basic services are not provided. They don't have enough water, they don't have electricity, they don't have enough space, not to mention the diseases and the lack of medical services. So they prefer going out, hoping to find some job or any kind of living. But it is really difficult, the situation. And it's clear when you walk in Beirut, you find a lot of beggars. We didn't have this 2 years ago. This is a new phenomenon.
Tidiane Udrego is currently studying conflict in his native Burkina Faso at the University of Copenhagen. He agrees.
We have noticed that a lot of people, a lot of Malian refugees, who are not in these camps. They prefer to stay outside the camps, either with friends like myself, either with renting house to stay. I received a friend with his family. There were 25 people, and they stayed in my house for 2 months. I think they will prefer to stay in cities if they have this opportunity. Because if you are in the camp, it's like, it's look like you are in a prison. You there is no privacy. You are, with a lot of people. You cannot really move around freely like you will be in the city. So if there is a possibility, people will stay in the city.
Simone Haysom explains why.
It's easier for agencies to operate and provide those services in camps. I think you can say that. It's easier when you have everyone in the same place and you're given a lot of autonomy and control, which is very crudely how a refugee camp would operate in a number of places, that international organizations or the refugees themselves would be allowed to stay on land temporarily and then external actors would provide services. You can't do that in a city too, because people are dispersed and it's the state's responsibility, and for a whole lot of reasons about the fact that people are not doing temporary services in a city. They're thinking about putting in permanent ones.
But according to Lina Hamadan, it is not just those who might have to live in them that are wary of camps.
There was a proposal to build some camps, but due to the previous experience with the Palestinian refugees, the Lebanese public is reluctant, and there's a resistance among all the Lebanese. They don't want camp because they say if it's temporary, it will become permanent. The local government doesn't have the means. You know, this is not a very rich country. And the help coming from the international community is coming through NGOs, through international organization, UNHCR. There's no real formal mechanism to channel these assistance for the refugees. I think there should be some comprehensive plan to find a way to and to manage this, the refugees file, not only in Lebanon, in all host country, Lebanon, Jordan, Turkey, all the neighboring country. For now, the population is accepting since because of the Syrian crisis, but at some point, I think if the crisis will calm down, they will look at the economic situation, and this would be difficult for them. They would see the refugees as a threat.
This concern over the length of time that refugees and IDPs may have to remain with their new hosts, perhaps even becoming permanent, is well recognised. Kabul in Afghanistan quadrupled in size in 10 years, growing from a city of 1 million to over 4 million by 2011. Whilst many of the new residents were nominally entitled to services from the state, in practice they were often denied by a government who promised a return to rural areas was imminent.
I mean, often what you'll hear governments say is that providing services will entrench people's position in the city. So if we give people sanitation, if we build them homes, then they'll never go back, and the best thing for them is to go back. So a number of assumptions about what will make people move or stay, and also about what's best for them, that often lead to services not being provided. I think one of the reasons that governments often take that line is because that kind of rapid growth of the city is very difficult to manage. Administrations are overwhelmed. They are struggling to provide the existing population and unable to meet the needs of the population that arrives. So displacement can compound governance challenges that cities are already experiencing, lack of resources, chronic underdevelopment for several decades.
It's a complex problem, but there are some signs of hope, even if they don't go quite as far as many would like.
I think, paradoxically, there's been quite promising developments on the policy side, and definitely an increasing amount of attention from both researchers and policymakers in various publications. In 2009, UNHCR released a landmark policy on urban refugees, reversing a position that it had taken in the 90s that said that urban refugees were not in need of assistance or attention, and saying that they were, and it was an important operating environment for the agency. You also had the Interagency Standing Committee release a policy on humanitarian action in urban areas broadly. I think the level of policy development hasn't been met by innovations in practice or increasing sophistication of the response or adaptation to the situation. So in a number of programming areas which are really vital to really responding to the needs of refugees in urban areas, say protection and livelihoods, you don't see the requisite amount of innovation or adaptation.